It's like, why does the most prestigious race have to be 100 miles?
I also said that when I got into trail running. I was like, this is stupid. Like, why does it have to be 100 miles? Now, I don't know, a few days removed from Western States, I'm like, no, I kind of get it. This is it, you know?
So once we get into
it's not
it,
even that bad. Like, you just,
it's not that bad.
What do you mean? You were just saying how you didn't want to do it ever again.
Well, I did it, but...
The Western States 100-mile debutante has returned home. Together with his brotherhood of boys and inspired new training...
You're on the Norwegian double threshold train, no?
I tried, yeah.
He was able to rise above the fallen and finish the quest most can only dream of. He ventured forth as a newcomer and returned a conqueror of canyons.
That signature Seth Ruling stride is starting to come out in this final 100 meters of his debut 100-mile journey at the 2025 Western States 100. This is Seth Ruling.
The wilderness itself whispers his name. Year of the Boy.
Coffee Club, grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie, Morgan, George, and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 193. Finally, we're back in the studio together, so we're very, very excited about that. And also, we're joined by a very special guest today, someone who's run more miles than the three of us combined in the last few days. His name is Mr. Seth Ruling. How you doing, bro?
Good. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Honored to be on the pod for the first time. Y'all are together.
Yeah, and also a rival podcast, we could say.
yeah.
How's a rival? The Outdoor Boys are so much better than us.
No, I think y'all are killing us.
I don't know, but you guys have in your title, so you guys kind of got the boulder.
I looked you guys up. Outdoor Boys has like millions and millions of subscribers. Well, what are you talking about?
Just for anyone who doesn't know, because the thing is, like, you know, the worlds are still very different, I'd say, from like the track world and the trail world. So I think there would be some people who wouldn't really even know like what we're talking about. So you have a podcast called The Boulder Boys Podcast. Year of the Boy, everyone hop on the bandwagon. But for yourself personally in the pod, do you want to give like kind of a little just intro?
What's
your story?
What's my story? Oh man. Straight into the hot question. I don't know. I'm a trail runner for the North Face. I have gotten to running similar to you guys with track in like high school and college. And then, I don't know, found trail running because I was injured all the time. And I like never got injured running trails, so just kind of hopped on that sort of trajectory, and yeah, I don't know.
And here we are.
Here I am, just finished my first 100-miler a few days ago.
And you can walk down the stairs too. I saw you walking down the stairs. That's pretty impressive.
Easy, light work. No, and then yeah, me and some buddies just started a podcast called The Boulder Boys Show. Kind of like we didn't love the name of it, but a couple like media groups in trail running called us the Boulder Boys, and we were like, oh, we'll just run with it. So,
stuck. It's good alliteration.
Honestly, I just ripped you guys off. That's pretty much it.
Fair enough. And you were very humble in the way you described that you did your first 100 race, because that race was Western States, which, again, you're going to have to do a lot of educating to us and maybe some of our fans. Is that the biggest like 100-mile race in America in terms of competition?
For sure. And I would say even like, I know like Leadville is very historic, but I'd say Western States is for sure the biggest 100-miler in the U.S. from how many eyes are on it, how many fans like care. Mm-hmm. And then also, yeah, the competition.
And you finished, was it sixth?
Sixth, yeah.
Wow.
Oof.
Amazing. 14 hours and...
59 minutes.
How good was that watching the clock say 14:59 and not 15:00?
Oh my goodness. So it was like, I don't know if we're getting right into it, but I had like such a bad moment like at mile 90. Like I was walking like potato chips in hand, and I was like, oh, like I'm going to be getting in like 15:30 or something.
Yep.
And I don't know, started feeling good again, and coming down the last like half mile, my buddies who I was running with, they were like, oh my goodness, it's going to be so close. You're going to have to really book it. And it's like at the end of 100 miles. So I have like nothing left. Like I'm trying. I've been trying to book it since, 100 miles ago. But get onto the track, and yeah, I don't know. I thought I was gonna have to run like some ridiculous sub 60. It's like a 300 exactly, and I was like, I don't know. I've never even ran like a 45-second 300. Like, what am I going to do? And I come around the corner and I have like, I don't know, 20 seconds to spare. I was like, I didn't have to try that hard. Yeah. But it was good to see the sub 15.
14:59 sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
The sub 15 barrier, and it's the 15-hour barrier. That's like, for our track minds, that's hard to comprehend, I will say. And we're going to get more into all that stuff. But before we get too deep in the pod, I think we do have a couple little shout outs to do. First off, Seth has been very kind and has brought us all bags of beans from Verb Coffee Roasters here in Boulder, which is our favorite coffee roaster here. So
huge green flag that Seth also recognizes that it's the best coffee in Boulder. So
absolutely,
that's good to know.
And also, so thank you very much for that. Really appreciate it. We'll definitely have you on probably every week from now on if that's how this works. Yeah. But then very special Gus shout out.
Gus shout out. Yeah. I was at the track and, well, I've been getting complaints from Gus for CEO update. He does appreciate that we get some lovely people like Seth Ruler to deliver some beans and to be very gracious with our fans too, getting beans at nearly every meet we possibly get. But what does Gus get out of coffee beans?
Not much.
Yeah, fuck all. So I was at the track.
You're telling us you're not making him coffees in the morning?
I'm making him puppuccinos, but there's no coffee beans in that, brother.
All right.
If I gave Gus coffee, he'd either be running around my apartment constantly or he'd be shitting everywhere. So thankfully, I just give him puppuccinos. But he obviously has a lot of passions for treats. He's very a food-orientated dog. And I was at the track and I get over to my car and much to Yara's dismay, I got left a little package, a little beautiful little package from Winnie Lou, the Canine Co., which is a Colorado company. And I got left two bags of treats from the owner who was actually at the track running around, at Niowa track. And I asked him if I could shout it out in the pod, maybe potential sponsor, who knows, for Gus, but,
let's make that happen.
But to be honest, very special two bags of treats for Gussie. He's very excited about this. This is the first thing that we've received from the podcast other than the financial money that he receives that he will really properly enjoy, and it says property of the CEO already written on it, so we can't touch it, boys. Even if we like to eat dog treats, we're not allowed to touch this.
I was just thinking how devastating would it be if now we transition to no one giving us coffee beans and it's always dog food from now on.
We get some meats and it's just like, oh, these are bad coffee beans. Oh, it's just dog treats.
Yeah, I'll take 10 pounds of dog food back in my bag back to America.
But Winnie Lou, if you have a pet, go and check them out.
This is actually amazing. Gus's investment from like 3 years ago is finally paying off.
It's paying off. It's paying off in dividends. But thank you so much for these treats from the owner. Check out the website. They're a pretty cool company. And Gus is very excited to try these treats when he gets home. Hopefully he's well behaved. I'm well behaved actually, to be fair, because he does run the house. But that's true. Our little shout out for Gus.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Wow. So cool. And something else is really exciting. That's really exciting is happening this month for us. You know, we don't really do that many sponsorships, even though we openly say that we will sell our souls and bodies if you want to. But not many people come around. I don't know why. I don't know what's wrong with us, but we're super, super pumped because this month we're starting to work with Core, who I think a lot of you guys by now would have heard about the company. It's still like relatively early in terms of the development of these types of products. They're right at the kind of like the cutting edge of it in terms of heat training and tracking it specifically. But yeah, they're sponsoring us for the month, I suppose. And we will have a link in our description to go buy a Core. What do you call it? A Core heat monitor?
Yeah, I think they call it the Core Sensor.
The Core Sensor. That is, yeah, that definitely is the correct name. I should know that. The Core Sensor.
The second one too. That's the second version, I'm pretty sure.
Number two. And we're going to get all, like, I mean, we would talk about heat training just anyway, because it's something that is really interesting to us and has been increasingly interesting to us. And it's something that's fun. You know, I can't speak for all.
Well, you two have you two have saunas, so you guys have been very much on the heat training bandwagon.
We believe in it.
I think
that's the main thing.
I'm hopefully going to get a sauna at some point. I am looking at getting one, so I want to get a sauna and a cold plunge. But you guys have been saunering. I know Joe Klecker, our teammate, King Klecker.
He was rocking one.
He's been hitting the heat training pretty hard. As a roadrunner, I think it's pretty pretty good resource to use. Joe was texting me all last night and this morning how to connect it to his watch. He was having technical difficulties. But I've been using it the last few weeks on the, which has actually been a good way to do it since I haven't been running, like a controlled environment inside, either biking or stairmastering. Morg would have had it, except it got lost in the mail right before he left, and then showed up like a week later on the door, even though it said it had been delivered a week earlier. Some postal service, I don't know, sent it to the wrong part of the country, and it's been really cool actually.
Yeah, do you want to explain for people who actually have no idea like what it actually is and what the app and how it works?
It looks just like a heart rate monitor, and it connects to your heart rate monitor strap. Either like I use the armband strap, so I just connect it right next to my heart rate monitor on my arm, and it tells you. I think it literally just measures skin temp and core temp. I think it's just two metrics, but it also connects to your heart rate monitor to, I think maybe it like uses that in the algorithm to like for like heat strain, basically, like how hard it is. I think it must use that. Otherwise, why would it use your heart rate monitor? So it tells you like those three things, and then it comes up with this algorithm for like how, I think it's like an arbitrary number they've come up with, like heat strain number.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But they basically combine skin temperature and core temperature to tell you how much of an adaptation you're getting. And then they have this, like, they basically like kind of use a model that tells you when you're doing enough to get an adaptation or like thermal resting, or if you're going like maybe more than what's the science says is necessary to get an adaptation. Because like, I don't know, the amount of heat training required doesn't seem like it's really that much over like a weekly basis to get a lot of benefits. You can obviously push that, which I'm sure some people do.
Yeah, and that can be really dangerous.
Yeah, definitely. Like, for example, I know David Roche definitely blows that way out of the water, and he says like, I'm going to do this and test it out. You guys probably shouldn't do this, for example.
Well, we've all experienced being too hot in a session and you're cooked after it, you know? Like that's a real thing. So I think it's good to have
feedback
to be like, no, you're doing enough. You're doing actually the optimal. You shouldn't do any more. So I think that's super nice to actually have something that's more concrete to kind of hold your hand along, because otherwise you're just guessing. I mean, it's been something that's like been done. I think cycling teams, like obviously on a bike, it's much easier to dial in the numbers and stuff. But it's kind of from what I know, the first time in running that they're creating a good way to actually like track this stuff and to help you optimize it. And the reason for that, the benefits, we've talked about it before and we'll definitely talk about it more, but you know, so many good endurance benefits, like a lot of similarities with altitude training. So really relevant if you're at sea level or if you're doing it altitude like us, and really relevant, not just for the benefits from a pure like endurance standpoint, but also to get adapted to racing in hot climates, which is something that we all do as well. And it's nice to have it in a convenient sensor form, because as we all know, the actual, when they do the studies, the way that you're meant to measure your core temperature is a little more strenuous. Do you know how they do it, Ollie?
No. Slightly more invasive.
Take a guess how you're actually meant to measure someone's core temperature.
You stick a thermometer up your bum.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's like what you're meant to do.
Well, yeah. Well, look, I am planning on using my core sensor for a very different purpose to you guys. My heart rate doesn't get very high in training or in workouts. The only time my heart rate gets high is if I'm playing Stadium Overwatch. So I'm going to be wearing my heart rate sensor monitor when I'm, because my apartment's actually a sauna. Like it retains heat. It does not cool off in there. So I'm going to be wearing it and playing video games, and it's going to be really good for heat acclimatization and also keeping my heart rate high. So I'm going to be wearing it for that.
That's actually not even a joke. You could definitely do that.
No, I'm 100% doing that.
You should be doing that.
If you put on the heat suit, a few jackets, chucked on the core sensor, like I'm sure you would be at like, it would be a low level. But if you did that for like what I think you do it for each day or each week, like that would definitely
I'm not kidding. I'm actually going to be doing
that. That would register on that. That's a great idea.
I'm doing it for, so like my plan is, I actually was going to tell you guys this, but from August, like that month of August, I'm going to be doing that every day.
Perfect.
For like every time I play video games, I'm putting it on.
Well, we wanted to have, I think initially one of the ideas was to have a competition for who could become the most heat adapted. But George has such a head start.
I was going
to
say, that's not a fair competition.
Give us the update
at all.
Of where you're at, George.
I currently 87% heat adapted.
And that's in just 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
In 2 weeks. So.
Well, in the science, it only takes 10 days, I think. Technically, if you do it full on, you can get the full adaption in 10 days, I think it is. You can do it really quickly. Which is
full adaption is 100%, I'm guessing, right? Yeah, but 90% is heat champion. So maybe I'll have a crack at that this afternoon.
What do you start off at? Like 70%, 60%? Like, sure. Do you start at zero?
You start at zero.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Thermal rookie. And then 25%, they say heat. Fuck, I've forgotten the word they use. Heat acclimated or something.
Can you buy the battle pass and like skip through that stuff?
And
then
skins
like,
and stuff.
Like, can I have different skins and like, pay to win?
Then you become heat adapted and then you become heat champion.
Pay an extra $20 and I'm already heat champion.
You're going to need it because. You're at zero, but so is Morg. Although,
technically, I'm not at zero though, because I have been training in the heat.
That's one thing that I'm concerned
about. But the
app
is zero. Ah, well, whatever.
Like, if you're already heat adapted and then you use the app, how does it, is it relative? Does it work on a fully like relative to you basis, or is it completely like objective from?
I think it will. I actually don't know, but I think your curve will just start. Like if you did a heat training session like you've been doing, I think your curve will be so steep that it'll just shoot up the first like half of the percentage.
Interesting. Well,
is what I assume.
Very excited to see how this is going to play out. And yeah, as I said, we'll be talking about this a lot more. So please leave a comment with your heat training related questions. And we're going to dive deeper into this in the next few episodes. And also we're going to do something really cool for the first 10 people that purchase one. Send us a message. With some proof, some evidence. And we're going to send you out a beanie, a Coffee Club beanie, so you can do your heat training in the beanie. That's what it's designed for. It's a training tool. So
make sure you take a photo of that too and send it to us so we can have the archives of all our Coffee Club
players. We're going to have an army of heat trained champions, and it's going to be epic. And yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun with this. But so we talked a little bit before we started with Seth because he was doing heat training. It's very, very relevant in your world because the race that you just partook in is, it goes during the day in the summertime in California. So what was heat training like for you leading into that race? And do you think it was a big factor in the end?
Yeah, it was definitely a huge factor. I didn't have a core sensor though, so I don't know what that would have been good to know if I was at 100% or something. But I think I probably took a more like traditional approach to heat training. I have a sauna in my garage. It's an infrared sauna, so it doesn't get quite as hot.
That's what we have as well.
We have the same. So I felt like the infrared sauna wasn't quite hot enough, so I'd get in there with like a bunch of clothes and just like sit in there and sweat. And then honestly, like it was so hot in Boulder like the 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
That I'd just go like if I was doing a workout, like I'd warm up and cool down in like a full sweatsuit, just like a hoodie.
That's a good way
pants,
to do it.
And then or like I think 2 weeks before states. I had like back-to-back long runs, like 3 hours back-to-back and like just kind of normal running. But I'd wait till like noon or one to go for a run. So, and then the other thing that I was most proud about was I'd just get in my car. I wouldn't turn the AC on and I'd just drive home like sweating.
I saw people doing that. I saw someone said there was a thing where people would do that and they would get in their car and turn the heat on after a run.
Yeah.
Do you guys, sounds terrible.
Lunatics.
Yeah. Did you guys ever watch... I'm sure you guys have the Sweat Elite. You guys know the Sweat Elite guy? Did you guys ever watch the Jim Walmsley video?
I didn't see that one. Is that
you should look it up. The Sweat Elite like camera guy passes out because Jim won't let him. Like Jim drives from Flagstaff to Sedona, does a 16-mile run, and drives back.
With the heat on?
With like no AC, heat on, windows like rolled up. And he wouldn't let this guy roll down the windows. And I guess he passed out on the drive back.
Oh my God.
So...
Yeah, I mean, that's really hard. And that's a part of it, right? You're meant to let your body naturally come back after training. Like, you don't want to, like, cool yourself off after training.
Yeah, I think so. I think for me, it was, I had to kind of weigh, like, fatigue and fitness stimulus and heat training.
Yeah, and like, that's why the core sensor is nice to actually track it.
100%. Because, like, heat training, ketones, like, all these things that, carbs, like
buzzwords.
Carbs are maybe a little more buzzwords. It's all these like 1% gains. And it's like, I don't know. You still have to like make sure that like 99% of training, like fitness and getting good at running is like always the main focus. So it was always just kind of weighing the, I don't know, weighing it like, am I doing enough heat training to like be heat adapted, but not too much.
To like, not to take away from the quality of your sessions
100%.
You're running.
So like, I don't know, like I couldn't really justify or even feel like comfortable doing like big, like 1 hour, 2 hour sessions running in the heat, like with a heat suit or something. Like I just think the quality of my runs might've been a little too low. So, and honestly, now doing Western States, you don't actually ever get that hot because the icing techniques are so good.
Yeah, and there's so many eight like stations and
so
stuff.
So many aid stations. So
how long does
ice.
The ice last from an aid station, though?
So I don't think I ever ran out of ice chips. Like in my, I had a double sided bandana, so it was a bandana pouch in the front, bandana in the back. It looked like a bib, looked like a baby bib. Yeah, every aid station I just like open it up, they'd shove ice down in there, or if I had a crew spot, I'd switch to a new bandana thing full of ice. And I don't know, like I definitely, it was hot for sure at times, but it never got that hot. Like running an hour in Boulder like last week or 2 weeks ago was hotter than anything I experienced during the race.
It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
that is crazy to think about.
That's a big difference, Mako.
For sure. So I don't know, I think heat training is super important, and like for running the mile or whatever, like I think there's some performance benefits, but I think you always got to make sure you're like not sacrificing fitness.
Mm-hmm. That's why in for us in a busy schedule, it's actually hard to time it. Like it's hard to work out when you want to do it, because like you would think obviously not before a workout, mm-hmm. not during a workout. So you kind of have to do it after workout, because I think like you could say like non-workout days, but then those are your recovery days. So it's like like you just said, yeah, you have to weigh up like, well, if I do this, get all this stimulus on my recovery days, like, am I really going to be recovering? So I think like you said, doing it for a warm up and then especially for a cool down after a workout sounds pretty smart. Cause then, yeah, it's a good time to just add a little bit more load and then you have long recovery.
Yeah. And I also think like hydrating and like taking care of yourself after a heat session, like even if it's just sitting in the sauna, like taking care of yourself after, just as if you did a hard workout, is super important too.
Mm.
Like eating and drinking and.
How long were your sauna sessions looking? Because I know some people have protocols where they're in the sauna for so long and it just sounds so boring.
No, yeah, it was terrible. Not that long. So when I first got the infrared sauna, I was just sitting there like shorts, shirtless, and like it would take so long to get hot.
Does the infrared penetrate clothing though?
It does. Yeah,
does
yeah.
It?
Or I felt it did. Yeah.
You felt hotter. More hot.
Like if you...
Because like it's like goes like into your...
Were you measuring your core temp? Wink, wink.
No, I wasn't. So I was sweating a lot though. Is my measurement.
Because I thought an infrared that had to be like on your skin for it to like penetrate.
Through.
It goes through clothing?
Yeah. Like a micro, like, you know, you microwave something.
Gonna have to ask ChatGPT that one.
Yeah, I also don't know for sure, but it felt like it did. Either way.
If
either
you
way.
Felt more hot, then I trust you.
Yeah.
Like
if,
exactly.
If you guys like, I don't know, they sent you those core suit things.
Yeah.
Right, chuck that on in the sauna.
Put that in, get in the sauna. It's like not relaxing at all, but it gets the job
that's
done
right,
like
it's
way
training.
Quicker. So I'd only be in there for like 30 minutes.
Nice.
And only like two or three times a week, but I was heat training since like December.
Yeah, so. There's like kind of like no reason to ever stop once you start.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I have a buddy who...
As long as you have the time.
Yeah,
ability.
Totally. I have a buddy who rides, he's a track cyclist for like the USA Olympic cycling thing. And he, that was the thing he told me. He was like, yeah, we never stop heat training. So
yeah,
this makes sense.
Yeah, and because it's from all the stuff that I saw about the studies, it's actually pretty cool. Once you get to your status as a heat champion, once you're adapted, it's really easy to maintain those benefits. I think you can maintain, like if you, let's say you go through this brutal kind of like 2-3 week period. I think you only have to do the sessions like once or twice a week after that to maintain them. So
yeah,
that's why I'm doing it now. Cross training so that when Genius. I'm doing it running, it will be way less.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice.
And I do feel like maybe in the summer, like when it's super hot, like I don't know what time y'all run, but.
We're starting to run a little earlier, but still, like in Boulder,
it
gets hot quick. Like I think by 9 to 10, it's.
Like you guys are probably
hot.
Doubling in like 90 plus.
I try to double early just because I want to be hot. Like I feel like for me, I'm trying to be dealing with heat because I don't have all the
stuff. Yeah. So I'm kind of doing it like just being in the heat. And then, and my races are a lot shorter than 100 miles. It's yeah, only fair. One. Fair so part. Like for me, it's like if I can put myself in heat, then I can sort of get used to it. But I think, yeah, it's a, I'm not as on top of it as usual, but well, I'll try yeah, and run it.
I think naturally,
plus.
Not even trying, you would get pretty.
Yeah, I'm curious.
You just get used to it. I've been in Boulder. I think if you're outside, you get used to like maybe not heat champion like George, but you'll get like maybe 70%. Maybe.
Yeah. Just I mean, from doing I'm curious the regular what stuff. The core would say if you like didn't do any specific heat training and just like
just lived it out.
Just lived it out
at like 3 p.m.
That would be interesting to see like you get a lot. What your acclimatation is just from doing regular stuff in heat.
Well, we if you used it, we would know, Ollie.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I don't have it.
You can
so.
Try that.
Of course you can.
Test it out.
I don't have the
we're
sensor.
Gonna get you one.
What do you mean? Do you want me to like
is it upstairs?
Do you want me to fucking
it
put
upstairs?
It on
I think
you want me
upstairs.
To put it on you for you? What do you want me to do?
No, I don't have it. I don't have the core
you're
sensor.
Gonna have one by the end of the day.
There we go. I don't have a core sensor. That's
it's
like
upstairs.
If I have one, maybe I
there's one with your
I
name
it.
On it.
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
If you need me to hold your hand, Ollie,
but yeah,
I'll
I mean,
do it.
No, I never got it, George. I never got it.
We'll sort that out.
Somebody's been hoarding all the core sensors.
George's
I don't know
going,
who it is.
George's going for it once.
I've been using all of them at yeah. once. So you guys are actually at the same level as me.
I like that because it's like I don't know. I think it's good, but I still think like, yeah, it's it does. I guess there's a difference, right? I'm just thinking through my head different scenarios, what we might be racing in. If you're heat adapted, that doesn't necessarily mean you're adapted to humidity, does it? Or are those the same thing? Because I remember before we went to Tokyo, did a little bit of training in like wearing more clothes and then rock up in Tokyo, in which is so hot and humid. And I felt so bad. I was like, I don't think I've done it. I don't think I've gotten any benefit out of it. So I wonder if that's a different story.
I have no
something
idea.
We have to investigate.
I have no idea.
That,
I
don't know.
We got to get a heat chamber in our gym and make it humid because I used the heat chamber when I was back home at the N-Swiss and it was so sick.
Or do you guys have a heat chamber in your gym?
Not yet.
No, okay. We just need to crank the heat in there.
You know, you can make a heat chamber really quick. If you just have a small room, you put it one or two heaters, you put a humidifier in there.
Yeah.
Dude, you got a heat chamber.
Dude, one of the... One
I guess you
friend.
Need to filter the air, otherwise the carbon dioxide goes too high and then you die. But that actually happens, I think.
Problem. Yeah,
that
one
sounds
of my,
dangerous.
One of my buddies that part of the Boulder Boys pod.
Shout out.
He goes and he has like a little bathroom and he just turns on the shower, puts
I've
a heater in there,
yeah.
and like closes all the doors and just rides on a bike in there for...
That'd be probably really effective,
like,
huh?
Oh, it looks... I tried it once. It was disgusting.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. Yeah, sounds miserable. So bad.
It's way easier just to
there's definitely,
in a sauna.
Yeah, there are cheap ways to do it. You just got to do it.
All right. If heat wasn't a big factor last weekend, like what was the difference maker? How do you know you were good to run 100 miles, having never done it before?
Oh, you have
how
no...
You, know?
You don't know.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think even when people... I think there's one dude on that start line that knew... He was good to run 100 miles and it was Killian, you know? Like, he's done it so many times.
Yeah,
everybody
true.
Else was like... I mean, you looked at it, like, past states champions, like, blew up and walked it in, respectfully, walked it in for, like, a 24-hour finish. So it's like...
Yeah.
Even if you think you know what you're doing, or guys who are good 100-mile specialists or whatever, dropped out 100K in, you have no idea. That's the craziest thing about...
You must have some confidence, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Does it come from, like, just how you feel, having done massive runs? Or does it come from, like, you qualified at Black Canyon?
Yeah.
Is that 100K?
100K. Yeah, I think the biggest thing for, like, a 100-miler is, obviously, you got to be fit. You got to be able to run a long ways. You got to be, like, pretty durable over the course of, you know, 100 miles and 20,000 feet of drop. But I think... I don't know. Like the biggest thing for me was just like I felt calm, like mentally, and so I feel like if you're calm in 100 miles, you can kind of just do anything.
It's kind of the beauty of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not knowing and being able to achieve something like that with a lot of people doing it together, I think that's just a beautiful thing. It's chaotic, but it's kind of
like,
cool.
Yeah. I'll be honest, guys. Watching this race. I was like, I believe that trail running is like the future. After witnessing yeah.
it was so sick.
Because I got lucky. The race started because I was in Australia. The race started at 10 p.m. So it was a good time. Like I watched the first 45 minutes of it before I went to bed and just witnessing like and they were doing a really good job covering it. The commentating was amazing. Just seeing the epicness of all these people at 5 a.m. in the morning starting to run up a freaking mountain. yeah. like epic beginning, you're just like, wow, this is special. And it was cool. Like there was a lot of people watching it live. And I can only imagine that the coverage is going to get better and better with technology every year. Like once it's really on point, oh, dude.
Did it have drones? Like drones were following crowds
drone
and stuff?
Yeah, for sure.
So like you can imagine in the future, there's just going to be drones everywhere covering every step.
Yeah, the drone footage is sick. And like now with Starlink, because we used to watch it, you used to have to follow Western States on Twitter.
Right.
It'd just be like somebody with updates
and stuff like that.
Like, this guy looked fine. Like, and now now you get a little grainy photo of somebody running across the trail.
It seems sweet. Like, it seemed like this year they were like, at least for maybe it was like 50K or like maybe 20 something miles, there were like 9 or 12 of you guys together. Well, like, within like 90 seconds for like the first like 4 or 5 hours. I feel like you were leading it. Like, weren't you leading like 15 or 20 miles?
Yeah. No, I don't know about that, but I did put a move in about 50K in.
Really?
Cause I don't know.
I remember seeing you at the front at some point. I was like, was that sick? Or was it, and was it just cool running in this massive group?
Yeah. I mean, it's super cool because it's such a long race. Like,
it seems like it would be more spread out, but.
No.
Like, in normal years, maybe, or in other years.
Yeah, nowadays you have to like just go. If you want to win, you have to go with the pace.
Yeah.
Like it's pretty.
Like those guys weren't coming back.
No, those guys weren't coming back. And like we were well under course record pace and all this. And like obviously nobody ran a course record, but it's like I think with the cooling strategies we have and all that, like nobody's blowing up like they used to. So it's like if you're not in it, you're like, you're not coming back. Like you might be able to like start off slow and like crawl your way to the top 10. Or something.
Yeah,
you're no chance gonna win. But no, it was sick. Like, and taking the lead for a little bit. I don't know. That was more just to see the trail.
Yeah,
it's like you get in this Congo line of people, and like you can't see the trail, and you're just stumbling around the rocks, and like I don't know. And there's a lot of conversation that happens. Like,
really?
Yeah.
What are you guys talking about?
I guess you guys are. Are you in zone two? Like, what's going on here? Zone one, I guess.
Oh, zone two for sure.
Zone two.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the heart rate's pretty high.
14 hours and 59 minutes.
Okay, that's right. It's a zone two race.
Yeah.
Infinite threshold, baby.
Yeah, that's what it is. Actually, I did a lot of threshold for this.
I feel like threshold would be amazing for this.
Yeah, it's the move. What are we talking about? I don't know. Like, it was fun to... I never met Killian before, and he's kind of like a legend. I don't know.
Just a little bit.
Just a small legend, yeah.
Just a small legend. So we actually quite literally small. So we just chatted a bunch and... I don't know. At some point, it would get quiet. So you'd be like, anybody see any good shows? Like, I don't want to be sitting in my head for 15 hours. Like,
for real. I didn't expect that.
But it's different. Like in the US guys are really chatty. You go over to Europe and the French, particularly the French, like, don't say a word.
Seems like different worlds, like the trail scenes.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's a little bit in the track world too. Yeah, I think true. US meets are a lot more friendly than European meets.
Yeah, they got some egos over there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna disagree with that.
You think the Europe meets are more chill?
I guess
no chance.
I guess for me personally, like the environment I'm in with the 1500.
That's just because you and Jakob are best friends. You guys have so much to catch up every time you see each other.
Not just that. Well, every time I see Tim Chariot, I have lovely conversations with Tim. Every time I see, anytime I see anyone from the 15, but like the European meets, George. Like I think when I'm in Europe, I see all those top dogs and we always have great conversations.
And what happens when you're in America?
It's the same people. So yeah. For me, America and Europe meets for the 1500 or mile specifically, it doesn't change.
Fair enough.
But maybe in other maybe
Steeple
the staple.
Chase is completely
maybe the staple
well, like, they hate each other.
I mean, George is dealing with a lot of Germans right now and we've got the best German.
Hey,
there. With humor.
Yeah. And they're lovely, actually.
I don't know. I don't know. I disagree with that comment. I think the European and the American meets, maybe they're more friendly, like with the spectators and with the, maybe that's what you mean. I don't know. I've experienced love everywhere. So
I also will say that my one experience, I was in France trying to chat up a French dude. And like, I was like, this guy's like so quiet and rude. And then like after the race, they were like, yeah, he doesn't speak any English.
That can do it.
Maybe the language could be a thing as well. Yeah. I mean, that's also like when you go to those meets over in Europe, that is their second language is English. So
it's true.
And that for them to articulate how they feel might be a lot more difficult and they're a bit more scared to not give you the wrong impression.
Yeah. Takes a lot of mental energy to like translate.
Yeah. Whereas like we're just speaking English. It's like, what, you know, everyone speaks English here. So it's easier.
totally does make a difference. I think we're definitely going to speak way more about Western States and geek out on it, but we're going to cut away now for a little bit to get back to track, because Ollie does have to get away in a little bit, and there is...
Koki's waiting for me. He wants to lather my body with oil and massage me before one of the biggest miles this year.
So yeah, we got pretty happening on Saturday. It's kind of crept up in a way this year. And as per usual, bringing out the big guns, chasing, hunting some world records, crazy pacing. And we're very, very excited to have our member of the pod, Ollie, representing us once again out there in the Prefontaine mile. This the Bowman mile, sorry.
This will be my 1, 2, 3. This will be my 4th Bowman mile.
For real?
Yeah.
It's good numbers.
I've been seconds. I've been at the back getting outleaned by George. I've been in different pre's, and I'm excited to come to the 50th pre classic. And they've got new uniforms, George and Morgan, and I know you guys would love the new style that Nike's put in for these uniforms.
I'm gonna have to look these up.
Yeah. So my takeaway,
you guys talked about this before the pod, I'm gonna have to find out what's going on.
Morgan, give us your takeaway.
Take a quiz, and then I'd love to hear what you. I'm really disappointed in them because they're celebrating 50 years of it, and they just look. To me, they just look slightly different from their Olympic champion kits or something. And I was like, you guys could make, and this is for the Nike athletes who are wearing this at the meet, all of them apparently. It's the 50th year of the pre-classic. Why would you not make like a really cool, like vintage Oregon Prefontaine inspired kit that's actually like different? The kit that they're wearing to me says nothing. But maybe I didn't look good enough at it.
Well, it tells me that they've just changed the colorway of the original kit. I was hoping that they would change the kit completely.
Is that actually what, is just the normal kit different color?
Yeah. I think from what I saw.
Can you find a visual?
Why can't I find this? What is it on?
It's on here because you guys, well, I got followed by Pre-Classic recently because I'm.
Hey, congrats.
I'm a big dog.
Sinclair posted about
Sinclair
it.
Sinclair Johnson was wearing it. And look, I think the athletes look great in it. The kit, I liked the kit a lot when it first came out, and then I started over time not liking it as much as other kits.
Is this their regular kit?
So the purple...
The Olympic champ kit?
So the kit that... You know the kit that they've... The way that it's styled? I've got no... George, I need your internet because my thing is not working, but...
You got it, I got it.
Yeah, Morgan's got it.
Am I technologically challenged? Why can't I find this?
Wait, no, I don't.
It's because all your media is just all Western States. You've got all trail running on your algorithm now.
I should say
whatsoever.
Why would I not have it?
If this jersey sucks, that why? And I don't want to give them too much credit.
Dude, maybe they have to
for
take
obvious
down the
reasons,
pictures.
But they should just be wearing that ACG shirt from Western States,
bro. I thought that was sick. Did you like that or no?
It was funny. I'm super curious to see the sunburn tan. Like,
I was gonna say that surely after 14 hours, there's gonna be a sunburn
because that thing was really sick.
Yeah, that was cool. I thought. But I mean, everyone like you had like. Did everyone's kits are pretty
have you
cool.
found it?
No, it is. Yeah, Ollie,
does this exist?
I think they had to delete it.
It does exist. I saw it this morning. But I need your Wi-Fi, George.
Yeah, why
have
we kicked off your Wi-Fi, George? You guys have to...
We got new Wi-Fi, but just click on the... It's the same thing.
Can you find the pre-classic page?
Oh, yeah. Surely it's on the...
That's what I was on when I saw it.
Yeah.
Pre...
I can't get on because I have no Wi-Fi, but it's on the pre-classic.
Seth, did you happen to see it?
No, I didn't see it. I'm curious to see what it is.
Yeah, the tension is...
They might have, wait, if it's not wait, there, they would have taken it down, wait. But they definitely posted it.
Okay, wait. It's like, no, it's just the same jersey, but
yeah,
it's
is
black.
Is it just like not impressive?
It's just black.
Wait, it's the same jersey, but they changed the colorway.
I want to hear what Seth has to say.
Instead of the normal one is orange, this
like,
one is...
You could like do a Nike so much kit. Cool stuff with a 50-year anniversary of a meet like that.
Well, they just made it black and gold.
Yeah. A lot of the vintage like stuff that Pre, like when Pre was running that vintage kit that he used to wear, like the Oregon stuff. I'm surprised they didn't do something similar to
that. I fanboy so hard when the team wears their throwback kit.
Yeah, the throwback kit. I thought they might have done something similar to that. But it just tells me that Nike maybe ran out of time and just said, let's change the colorway. We're not going to change the design.
This blanket looks like a New Zealand thing. Like it looks like a silver fern thing.
Is that a pre-classic blanket?
Yeah. It's like
it's different.
Black and white, and it's like a fern.
Yeah, so the kit's pretty uninspiring, huh?
It just, yeah.
We'll see what it looks like on the track, because it could look cool.
Maybe it will.
Not to diss them too much, but it's a different colorway to the original kit that they've wearing this year.
More importantly, Bowman Mile.
Bowman Mile.
Ollie, race plan.
Race plan. Oh, you don't want to know about who's in the race?
Well, I want to I want to hear from you mostly.
Let me just give you a rundown quickly because I do have to, unfortunately, dip out to get my treatment to get oiled up by Koki. But even though my mate Jingi is not in this race, I would say this is the, and we say this every year. I know we say this every year. It's probably the most stacked mile I'll ever be in. Looking at the entry lists, Yard and the Goose, 343.
Is Kermit the Josh in it?
Kermit the Josh is not confirmed in it as of yet. Cole Hawker, the Olympic champion, is in it. Hobbs is in it. Habs is in it. The Botswana guy is in it. Cameron Myers is in it.
White Castle.
White Castle is in it.
Gourley.
Gourley's in it. I think the average.
Brown Fisher, right?
Fisher's in Brown's it. In I think it. The average PB for this race is probably around 347, 348.
Crazy.
So that to me is insane because I've gotten second at pre-running 350 and now the average spread of these guys is 347, you know, and it's probably going to be a race, honestly, the way the pacing's going, which George is very interested in because we know George loves pace races.
Hey, they've been great recently.
But the pacing is going to be 150 for the 809 meters.
Conservative.
That's a conservative pace. If you can even split that, you're running 340 for the mile.
Under.
Oh, yeah, because it's 809.
Technically.
Yeah. Technically, you're running under. But that's the pace that Dathan and Yard
is Faith
are
going to
request. Breaking four?
What did they split?
She's in the back just chilling.
What did they split in 2023?
2023.
Was it 150 or 151?
151 to 152, I think. Because I'm pretty sure it's very even. From what Yara told me, it was very, very even. Because he felt that he was trying to close on Jakob, but Jakob just even paced it, like very, very even.
He closed back on him.
Yeah. For me, race plan wise, I mean, the past two races I've had a lot of positives and negatives to come out of it. Rome for me felt like very, very easy to run 331, but I was just out the back and then ran really fast last 300, felt pretty confident about that, and then went to Oslo, got in a good position, and then just kind of wasted my opportunity there. So for me, I want to get in a good position. It's going to be very hard to fight for position with such talented guys in this race, but I got to put myself.
If they go down 150, it'll be a nice line.
It'll be a nice
matter,
line.
It won't matter how far back you are if they're going down 150.
Yeah. I think for me, I would like to be in a position maybe in the middle of the pack and then just really work on my... I mean, one of the strongest things about me as an athlete, I think, is my strength. A lot of the guys in this race are very strong, but I know what it feels like to run 329. I know what it feels like to run 347, but I've also know what it feels like to run with Yard and the Goose in training. And I've done specific track work with him and I felt very confident in it and felt very strong in it. I just want to go in fresh. That third lap's going to be crucial. If I just stay with it, and really, really hang on, I think I can run under 347, which is my goal. I've got, Cameron Mike Myers in the race and he just ran 329.8. He's in great shape. He's a scary, scary man to race against right now. I'm calling him a man, even though he's, you know, pubescent. But I know I want to try and break that record. I want to hold on to my Australian record. So that's the plan. Run awesome. As close as I can to the front and enjoy the crowd. Hopefully have a lot of hype there. I know Dathan's really looking forward to this race because our training's been great for me personally and for Yard. So we want to go in and try and compete with the best because we can. And we just got to believe that we can. So that's the whole battle.
It's inspiring.
So why is the pace 150? Let's talk about that.
The pace is 150 because if you have a pace around 150, then Yard would probably go through in 151, 151. 0.5. And for him,
he's requesting the pace.
Yeah. So is it the pace is 150 because they're asking Yared and he wants the world record? Like, what's going on?
There's other people requesting.
That's right.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, Yared's requested 150.
I think Yared's the one. Well, I mean, if anybody's going to request the pacing, it's the guy that's run 343.
So, or it'd be the Nike guy.
That's true.
Yeah, pre. That's what I would think that us. I think that us the Olympic champ, but I could be wrong.
They'll probably ask Cole, but I don't think Cole's going to stray away from that. Cole's running a lot of tactical races, and we've seen what Cole can do when he runs fast. He can kick off a very fast pace. And if you have somebody like Yared, if I was Cole, I'd be like, well, I'll let him take a lot of the heat, particularly in that third lap, and then I'm going to close down hard. That's what I would expect.
So Yared thinks he's in world record shape, huh?
Yared is in world record shape. Yeah. He's in world record shape. I watched him run 3:24 pace average 1500 meter workouts and just walk it off. And I've been on the ground thinking like, wow, I was running 3:24 average pace. I was on the ground. He was walking it off going, where's my body armor? I do think it's going to be a very, very hard race, but the dude's more motivated than ever. I'm very motivated to run fast. I don't know what I'm going to run, but I do think I'm in better shape than when I was running 3:47 in Oslo. So the plan is just to no fear, go for it. Don't even think, which I'm good at. I'm good at not thinking. I'm good at just going and running really hard. And just, I want to hurt. I want to feel the pain. I want to feel that taste in the back of your throat that you taste a bit of the iron. I want all that shit. I want all the smoke.
I'm scared.
And I think for me, Cole should be worried because I was doing neuromuscular with Yared and we're doing 60 meter sprints and I was beating Yared to the line. So, I know for a fact that those 60 meters are so relevant and they matter so much to the Olympic champions run 2 seconds faster than me in the 1500. So just, I want all the smoke.
I believe.
I want all the smoke.
It's going to be sick.
I just want a good race. I got London after that, which I won last year off a technicality.
No, you won.
but I love London and I'm really looking forward to that 1500 in particular. But this mile, I really want to run under 3:47.
Is London 1 week later or more?
It's a couple of weeks later. The 19th of July, which will be nice because then I'll hopefully close on my house and then I can move in and then I can start my heat training, my Overwatch gameplay heat training. But
so
that's Bauman. I know Olivia's running the steeple, which is exciting. She's going to hopefully do really well there. Obviously, it's really nice to run at home in the US. And
is the meet in the afternoon on Saturday?
It's in the afternoon, yeah. Okay. I think we're around middle of the day.
Good conditions.
Early evening.
And there's no Friday session or is it all on Saturday?
I think it's all on Saturday. Yeah. They're having the 10Ks in the middle of the day still.
Classic. So 10K is huge, crazy field.
Crazy field.
It's the Kenyan trials.
Mm-hmm.
So the 10K fields are crazy.
My prediction to win is the Kenyan trials is Connor Mance.
Connor Mance. Dude, I think he's going to run such a quick 10K.
Honestly, I would see it.
I believe
as well.
I mean, I know it is something different running on the track compared to roads slightly, but the times that he's putting down on the roads right now, bro, I think he's going to run so fast.
And the pace is, it's 13:20 or something?
Yeah, 25.
So 26:40. 13:15? Is it?
I could be wrong on
that. If he just dimes in on the pacing and just stays, I reckon he could run so quick.
Yeah. And then I know in the women's, both the women's 15, I think it's a 15, not a mile.
15, yeah. World record attempt
Faith
as well.
Going for the world record. And then in the 5K, they have, I believe, Beatrice going for the world record. But also, especially in the 5K, like, I mean, Beatrice has shown that she's kind of head and shoulders like on top right now. And especially when it comes to these world record paces. But there are actually a bunch of other people who I'm sure will go with them or will try to see how long they can last. So it's going to be epic.
It's going to be absolutely epic. But I have to leave you. Seth Ruler, lovely to meet you, mate.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the Western States. Jordy has really tried to educate me on trail running and he is still trying. But I've gotten like on my algorithm all about the trail running and it does.
That's how you learn.
It's pretty, honestly, it's pretty sick. It's
working.
It is working.
I've just been feeding it into your phone.
Yeah, it's literally the algorithm is just hearing me constantly. But boys,
whispers on your
hate
phone,
to leave early, but you'll love to see me go. So thanks very much, guys.
Good luck at Bowerman.
Thank you very much, bro.
Super stoked.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Ollie.
Bye-bye.
You guys don't want any dog treats?
I was going to ask. I was going to a little bit peckish, actually.
Morg does love a dog treat.
Yeah, maybe next
time.
Does
it say human grade?
They look pretty, like,
they look pretty
food.
Human grade.
They look just...
Ingredients, organic sweet potato, organic milk.
I can eat that.
They're vegan.
Vegan.
That sounds like what Morg has for
treat.
Breakfast
yeah,
anyway.
That's just a good treat.
Yeah.
Hey, there's no meat in them? Ah.
Dude.
Wow, amazing.
That's so bolder to have like a
vegan. Yeah, it really was. Bro. Amazing. So, yeah, Pri's going to be absolutely crazy. We'll be cheering Ollie on and Olivia. And I mean, we'll be cheering for everyone out there because it's going to be so sick. Catch that on Saturday. But back to our man Seth and the trail stuff. I think we'll talk more about Western States specifically, but also I wanted to take a step back. Something that I think is really cool is that you do coach yourself, and you've gone about it, I think.
I didn't know that.
A little bit different. It's trail running is really cool because I think there's people who are more on the kind of just approach it from a more straightforward, where it's like, all right, let's try to run 100 plus miles a week and get on the trails and do all this. There's people who run less and are on the track trying to run faster. And it seems like you did some really cool periodization. And what's particularly cool was that for a good chunk of it, you were on the Norwegian double threshold train, no?
I tried, yeah.
Dude, take us through that.
Probably any idea I have, I just rip off from other people. And I like, all my training is just like particularly when you guys were, or Morgan, you were training for the half marathon. Like I'd see some of your workouts and be like, oh, that's a good one. I'll get that next week or something. I feel like trail running, there's so many variables. It's so different and the courses are different. It's it's a little too complicated just to like for one thing to work for everybody. And I think, I don't know. For me, I was like starting in last fall, I had done a trail race in Europe. I was getting like nuked by one of the best American trail runners, Hayden Hawks. And I was like, man, I'm just like not fit enough. So I was like, okay, I got to get fitter. And I don't know. It just seemed like threshold was the way to go. So I did.
Well, yeah. What did you specifically do?
All fall, I was just doing I was doing two threshold sessions a week, like lactate monitor and everything on the treadmill. Classic like OAC Europe, like 4x8 minutes or like, I don't know, 3x2 miles or whatever.
2.0? 2.0? Lactate or what?
I was probably like around 2.5.
Okay. Wait, were you doing, were you doing like double threshold days?
No, just
single
just
days.
Just 2 a week.
2 a week, 2 days a week, 1 threshold.
Okay.
On the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like, I think, just made sense as a way to get fitter.
Yeah.
And then
How do you see like your progression during that time?
I mean,
did you end up running faster by the end of the fall, like
not particularly faster, but I think the one thing with trail, maybe a little faster, but the one thing with trail is like that's never inherently the point. It's always, the point is just to like go further.
Yeah.
So I was doing like, I don't know, by the end of it, like, I don't know, 10 miles of work at like, I don't know, 2.5 lactate, which just felt good.
That's really quality.
So, and that felt like that set me up for Black Canyon 100K, where like I had a threshold block in the fall, December, January, like transition that into like 3 long runs a week, which are like 20 to 28.
3 long runs a week.
30 miles at each run. Wow. So, yeah.
Do you hit threshold in those or you try to stay away? You try to keep it at a below threshold?
I just run.
Just run.
I feel
just
like,
off vibes.
Yeah, just off vibes. I feel like trail.
How do you do long runs in the winter here?
A lot of Left Hand Canyon, actually.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like plowed real nice.
Yeah, so true.
But then instead of stopping up there, run down. But and then also it wasn't too bad of a winter, so
yeah,
like
really
I was
wasn't.
Able to get some climbing and stuff. But and then for this, so that was all before Black Canyon, and then after Black Canyon, started over again with like a threshold block, and I tried double threshold, and I don't think I was like,
what happened?
I wasn't recovering quite as well as I would have liked.
What did your days look like?
I can't remember exactly what I was doing, but I think like probably one of the last ones I did, it was like 4x8 minutes in the morning, kind of classic, and then I was doing like 4x6 minute hills in the evening.
Wait, 6 minute hills?
Yeah. Like threshold, just like up a long climb.
I love it.
But I was just, I don't know. The double threshold, I think, cooked me. And also, to be fair, like I was not checking my lactate on the trails. It's like, I don't know. You're kind of ridiculous to like stop and pull out the lactate monitor. So I think I was probably going a little too hard.
Yeah, I think kind of if you did a 5 minute hill, I think your lactate would probably spike really high. I could be wrong.
Well, I thought you'd have to run so slow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not fast. Like it starts off super slow.
Yeah.
But yeah, so try the double threshold. Didn't quite work and just went back.
You felt just too tired the next day or whatever?
Yeah. And then mixing that in with like long runs and like I work like a normal job. So mixing that in with work, it was like just a little too much, I think. So
I like that. I like the way you think about it and your approach, though.
Yeah.
Is that how do the Boulder boys all train together? Like,
no,
who coaches the rest of them?
We're just a think tank.
Really?
Yeah. Honestly, for the most part, well, we all have different strengths. Like, I am probably better at the threshold type stuff. And like, we have a guy, Matt Daniels, who's ran sub-4 minutes for the mile back in college. And like, so he's like a little faster than most of us. Some guys are good at climbing. So it just kind of, I don't know. We all like add our thing, but we actually don't run together like all that much. Like maybe once or twice a week, just because we're
just schedules and stuff.
Schedules, we're working. Two of the guys are parents, like three of them work for tech startups. So they're all pretty busy.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess. Well, so you think like, I guess you're always going to be dialing it in, but you think that's kind of like your recipe that you would try to follow, like a threshold block going into a more specific block going lead into races?
I think so. I think for states, I think I might have been like a little undertrained from like a mileage standpoint. Not even like weekly mileage, because I feel like weekly mileage for trail running doesn't matter as much. Like you guys are like, I don't know, probably running like 12 to 15 miles every day.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Ish.
Like
yeah,
every
maybe.
Day is kind of the same mileage. Where I feel like in trail running, like we don't get, most trail runners don't actually run that many more miles than like a 5K or a marathon. It's just distributed differently.
Really big days and
yeah, really
small
big days,
days.
And then you're just like toast.
Yeah.
for the next day. So I think, I don't know. I only did 1 week, maybe 2 weeks where I did like 4 long runs a week. And I feel
4
like,
long runs in 1 week. Dude, yeah. How are you recovering from that?
I think I had like, I think the other days were like 5 milers.
Yeah.
So,
still.
Yeah. It was.
Do you,
it was
do you just have to get to the point where a long run is not that hard though?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, everybody's been there. Like the first time you run 10 miles, you're like, oh my goodness,
yeah,
this is terrible.
Yeah, your body
and
adapts.
Then now 10 miles is like the easy Z run. Like you have to get to the place where it's like, okay, 20 miles is like no big deal.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, anything over that still feels hard though. Like 21 miles is ridiculous compared to 20, but.
What are your carb goals on those days and in the race?
In theory, like 90 grams of carbs an hour. I'm like a reasonable carbohydrate an hour guy.
Not excessive.
Not excessive. And honestly, like I work with the dietitian and he, I don't know, like your body only really oxidizes like 70 grams an hour anyway. So I was
that's
trying
to they
go,
say.
That's what they say.
I'm pushing. I'm trying to.
Yeah. Honestly, just like 90. I think for states specifically.
Yeah. Did you get in 90 for 15 hours?
Sure no, I vomited a bunch at mile 42. And after
that's not
that,
very far in.
That's not very far in. So after that, it was just, dude, I was just feathering like everything. Like it was like slow sipping on like a gel.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't like vomit again or like, I honestly just lived off the aid station. Like they had like some super watered down like Gatorade. And I was just going off that. Like, I don't know. I think it's one, I don't know. It's just one of those things like, and Killian talks about this a lot too. Like high carb is really important, but particularly for ultras, it's good to also like train with nothing sometimes. Just so you're like, when something like that happens, like when you vomit 40 miles into a 100 miler, it's like,
no, you're no a little bit deal. Prepared.
Yeah, no big deal. Like I can run on empty for a good bit because you got to let the stomach rest. So it was like probably an hour of just nothing until, yeah.
That makes sense. And then you just talked about before how you ended up eating like potato chips, which
oh, yeah.
which I get because I was doing a few longer bike rides when I was back home. Mm-hmm. Nothing close to a 14-hour effort. But even that, like because I do try pump the gels and stuff, you get sick of them pretty quick and you definitely crave something like salty. So I would like snack on like chips and stuff as well.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, if somebody could come out with like a properly salty gel,
yeah.
I think it would go down so well. And I remember like Cliff Bar, I don't know if you guys were in vogue to this, but Cliff Bar tried that like a pizza gel.
Really?
Back in the day.
I feel like Goo has a salted caramel or something.
They do.
That must be
so
sweet.
Have you had
it
though? Yeah, no.
Okay.
Is it not good?
You just give it a try.
Okay.
Tell me if it tastes like salted caramel.
Okay. I'll do a taste test.
All right.
Fair.
What else do they have at the aid stations? Do they just have, they have a bunch of like normal
pizza?
Food, right?
Yeah, I don't remember. I'm sure they do. They probably have like bananas, fruit, chips. I honestly couldn't tell you. I just like
How long were you stopping for?
Like 20 seconds or less.
Jeez.
Yeah.
But how many? Like, how many
just to fill
that
up?
That seems crazy.
Fill up ice.
How many toilet breaks did you take during the race?
Oh, like I mean, I don't know, not that many.
Okay,
but I did. Yeah, I did.
I asked. Did you just absorb all the liquid?
I asked the question in the stream. If everyone takes breaks together, no one responded to me because you know how
on the Western States stream.
Yeah, I asked the question like because you know how in a cycling race everyone takes breaks together generally.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know, I was wondering if there
was I was
some
watching
sort of...
Chris's interview, the guy who came second, and he was saying. When he and Caleb were at the front, like running together at, I don't know, kind of far in, I guess, when it was only them two, he stopped for a pee break. And then he was like, yeah, and I never saw Caleb again for the rest of the day. Like, that was it.
Dude. You got to take the breaks where you can. Yeah. You know, I think
you need to pee on the run somehow.
Yeah.
Like
some people do.
Really?
They won't tell you about it. They're just running and peeing in front of you.
I don't think it's
you're
possible.
Like, why am I getting wet?
Oh,
that's gross. Why am I getting wet?
But no, it's a, everybody, like, if you have to pee, you're just hoping somebody else has to pee too and, like, stops before you.
Yeah.
So, like, there was a point early in the race, like, I stopped to pee and everybody's like, thank God. Like, in, like, probably like five
so
or six.
So, you guys do pee together.
Yeah. Awesome. If you can, but, you know, obviously you don't have to pee. That's like a prime time to get a little gap.
Make a move.
Yeah.
Maybe one day I'll get to more like, because in cycling, it's like a gentleman's agreement,
but
essentially.
In cycling, I think it's only the yellow jersey.
Can decide
like when the yellow jersey
the
stops.
Leader, the race leader.
Yeah.
Well, and obviously, like, there's like, I mean, cycling is so different, so it is hard to directly compare, but it's not like if you take a pee break in the last like 20K of a race, it's not like anyone's stopping with you. You know, it's only when everyone's chilling.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Which you're not really ever chilling in the same way. Well, yeah, you're literally not ever chilling in the same way in a running race. Like, they are able to chill in a biking race.
Yeah.
You can't just ever like come off the pedals.
Yeah, and, like 100 watts. You're just putting like 100 watts. Yeah. And you're just
The downhills are actually worse.
Truth.
Amazing.
You can't just roll the downhills.
Yeah. So back to what, like Weston specifically, sixth place, first 100. Like it's amazing. Was that, I know you were pretty confident going into it. How did, you know, the race results align with your goals?
I don't know. It's weird. Like, I'm sure this happens to you guys. Like, the placing, sixth place is sick. Like, when I finished, I mean, I didn't even care what place I got when I finished. I was just happy to be done. But, I feel like it was pretty, it's definitely more than I deserved on the day. Like, I had like quite a bit of problems, like with my stomach and stuff. So I feel like considering everything, I'm like, I can't believe I got sixth. But definitely going into the race, I was like, I don't know if I definitely wasn't a favorite. I definitely didn't like inherently think I would win or anything, but knowing in running with the guys that, or like Chris lives in Boulder, running with him every once in a while, like I was like, oh, I think I can do what Chris did, you know?
Totally.
But it's like, I don't know. Six is sick. And I don't know. I can't be too upset. I was hoping though, like, because six gets you an automatic entry, like top 10 gets you automatically back in for the next year.
That's nice.
And I was hoping to do well enough that I didn't have to go back. You know, like I feel like if you win or you get your podium, you're kind of like, I'll just leave
I've
that
done
there.
It.
Yeah,
took that
it.
One off.
Leave it there. But sixth place, particularly like how I got six, it was kind of like,
Now I got to come back and do
back.
Better.
Yeah. Which like halfway through the race, I was like, I'm never doing this again. Like I hated what it was doing to my body. Like my knees hurt, like everything just felt like I was aging too fast. I was like, I hate
what
this.
Trail races feel good though?
Oh, like, I mean, at this point, 50Ks feel pretty good, but you're right. They none of them feel great, but particularly 100 miles, it's like, I don't know.
What's the dream distance to continue doing?
I love 50K.
Yeah.
But it's getting, well, I don't know. 50K is pretty sweet, but it's hard to really make a career out of 50Ks.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Like, does sixth place at Western States, does that change your life in any way?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure. Like, in some way. I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like my first at Black Canyon changed my life in, like, a big way.
Yeah.
And then I think sixth place is, like, the compensation from that is pretty good. But then also, like, the ability to get more sponsors is pretty easy. So...
Yeah. That's good to know in trail running that's...
Yeah, I'm trying to understand this shit. Like, it's so hard to understand. Like, we established that Western is the biggest in America. Is it the biggest in the world or no?
If you won, like, 60 UTMB...
Is UTMB bigger?
60 UTMB would be nuts, too.
Really?
So it... Right, from a...
Is UTMB the biggest?
UTMB is the biggest, for sure. Yeah, there's
I was saying
people.
That on the podcast last week, that I was trying to decide. And I was...
It seems like
I was trying to tell the listeners to tell me.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to know.
Dude, like, if On ever gets you guys, or, like, lets you guys go out to UTMB, it's nuts.
I've heard
it's...
Like, I would love to go.
I guess, like, it's a bit more historic, no? I mean, maybe Western States is a
Western
different...
Western States is more historic, it's more for historic, sure, but really. UTMB is, like, it's France. It's, like, put on, like, the Tour de France. Like, the fans are crazy. And, like...
So, you're going to do
visuals
it?
Visuals are crazy.
The what?
Like, the visuals.
Oh, the visuals are nuts. Like, yeah.
Yeah, spectacular.
Dude, I can't imagine it. No. I mean... Maybe one day. I've done CCC, which is the 100K out there.
Yeah.
Which is, like, also kind of a big deal. But, dude, I can't imagine staying up, like, through the night. Like, 15 hours is long enough. Like,
what does it take? How long does a winner run UTMB?
Right under 20.
Jeez.
Under 20. And it starts at basically sunset, right?
It starts at 6 p.m. the night before.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Fucking crazy.
And you have to, isn't there a lot for that race specifically? There's a lot more, like, kind of regulations on, you have to carry stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're not allowed, like, you were just talking about swapping your packs. Like, aren't you not allowed to do that?
No. Nope.
UTMB?
Yeah. Yeah, correct. Yeah. You guys know a lot. Yeah.
We're trying.
Yeah. UTMB is ridiculous. Like, I think... Like, most people, their pack weighs like 5 pounds.
Whoa, that's different.
It's like quite a bit. And then that's like not without the, that's like without the food. That's...
Do they regulate you have to carry certain things?
Yeah.
Like, and safety stuff.
And it's like safety stuff, and like the stuff is weight regulated for the most part. It's like your jacket has to be over 100 grams. Like,
what?
Stuff like that. I don't...
What? Over? Why would...
Yeah.
Why would...
Maybe it's 90 grams, but it's like, it has to be over a certain amount. The waterproofness has to be this amount.
Whoa.
And they check it, like, throughout the race.
Wow.
Particularly if you're, like, before the, like, UTMB specifically, like, right before it gets dark, they, like, make sure you have, like, 2 headlamps and batteries, which is, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
good safety stuff.
Is it way
hard to consider?
Is it way harder because it goes through the night? Or, like, the terrain is just way harder? Like, it's way steeper, right?
Yeah. And... Yeah, it's definitely a much bigger course, like, everything about it. And it's 109 miles. So it's,
yeah,
like,
that's fucking
extra,
long.
It's like an extra 10. But yeah, everything's bigger. Like, the climbs are huge. Like, States has some big climbs, but they're all pretty runnable, and it's like net downhill. I don't know. UTMB is just, I'd say for me, the hardest part would be probably running through the night. I try to do an 80 miler, 120K. I don't know how long that is. That started at midnight, and I could not wake up. So
damn. So what's the big goal then in trail running? Like, what's like your, what's the pinnacle for you? Like, what do you want to win?
States would be it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like States, really? Now that I did States, it's like States, if winning States would be sick for sure, especially as an American and as, like, I don't know, like, I am a huge track fan. And, like, huge fan of just running. And I feel like States is like, probably the biggest ultra, and it feels like the most aligned with what I actually like doing, which is just running. So, yeah, winning States would be crazy. I don't know.
Damn.
You're sick.
So, you'll probably go back next year.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. And then you'll kind of, so you'll plan, I mean, I guess this is already what you probably did this year, but, like, you'll plan your whole season around, like, that's the big goal.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, I don't know. The only reason, like, I'm bummed about going back is it's the time of year. It ruins your whole summer.
Yeah.
Like, all before, because, like, trail running's sick, because you can just go run around in the mountains and train. But for States, it's, like, the mountains have snow on them when you're training hard. And then by the time, like, now, it's, like, I'm going to be cooked for a month. So I can't go run around in the mountains. So,
we kind of have a different version of that here in Boulder, being track people. And that's moving to Boulder. Obviously, one of the things that you hear all the time about is, like, running mags and stuff, or doing runs up in Rollinsville. And they're some of the most special runs you can do. But for us, because if you're in college, you can do it well because it works really well with your summer training, is all your base training. But for us, because of our season, we don't get into our base training more until really, like, November, when we're hitting it hard. And by then, yeah, it's, like, too cold up there and it just doesn't make sense. So
the best time of year is like September, October, and then we're not even training.
So we get screwed. We don't get to do all these historic long runs.
Dude, that is a bummer.
Do you do the you do those type of runs?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't like mags actually.
Yeah, what's your favorite run in Boulder? What's the best loop?
What's the best loop?
Can you?
I mean, dude, the best loop in the summer is the Pawnee Buchanan loop up from Brainerd. Have you guys been to Brainerd Lake?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Have you?
Not sure.
It's like above Ward, like
no,
past peak to peak.
Wait, you haven't been. How long have you been in Boulder?
Long enough. I should have.
No, I've only been like twice.
Dude, you would be if you came and like saw our there. Lives, especially like with our whole team. Yeah. We don't do much Colorado things.
We really don't. Yeah. Okay, carry on about your favorite loop, but then also, what are some recommendations for trail runs we could do that aren't super hilly?
that
aren't hilly?
Yeah. Like a kind of flat one?
El Dorado Canyon?
Yeah, the Lobo there. Trail. I mean, dude, Pawnee Buchanan's sick. It's just, it's a loop. Goes either clockwise or counterclockwise.
That's how loops often work.
That's true. The normal way to do it is counterclockwise, which is opposite of, it's actually Buchanan Pawnee if you do it that way. But it's just sick. It's like all above like 10,000 feet, big climbs, like
I see you lost me.
I love it.
Yeah.
How far is it?
It's 26 miles.
Yeah, that
park.
As well.
Yeah.
That's a deal breaker.
But
I feel like Jenna has talked about this. My girlfriend does a little bit of train running and she goes to Brainerd a lot.
Oh, really?
I feel like I've heard her talk about a loop up there.
Or honestly, like if y'all, I don't know, you guys have an off season.
Yeah. Ish. We don't spend it here in Boulder generally, though.
Yeah. I also don't.
And you also don't need.
I also don't normally do 26 miles in my off season.
We could. Yeah. But dude, if you just go up to Brainerd and run Audubon Peak, it's like 9 miles out and back.
Cool.
It's like. Yeah.
What about, do you ever do the one that is all like the, from around here, that's like the peaks?
Skyline Traverse.
Oh, Skyline?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's, like we run those trails so much.
Yeah. So it's just,
that's
not
just
special.
The easy running.
It's not special.
I mean, I've never like officially done the Skyline Traverse, but it's like you run that trail in different variations so much. It's kind of,
cooked. I would get into it, man. I did Lion's Lair, which is like 5 miles.
Oh, dude, Lion's Lair is sick.
I love, because you get a nice view.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to get to.
Yeah, that's like the daily driver. For
really?
Sure. Mm. Yeah.
And you can probably connect to so much other stuff around there.
Yeah, yeah. Lion's Lair, you can take, there's like a shortcut that goes through a subdivision.
Yeah.
There's some trails over there.
Yeah. But
yeah, Lion's Lair, I mean.
Flattest trail, though. Well, flattest trail running trail. Is there anything?
Yeah, I mean, that stuff, Doughty Draw over by
Doughty Draw
Aldo.
For sure.
Yeah.
That stuff's sick as well.
Wait, have you guys been on
that stuff? That stuff gets fucking hot in the summer, though.
Yeah.
It's like so exposed over there.
Have you guys been on it's new North Sky? You guys probably have
from like Wonderland, right? Isn't it like
it's North Boulder? It's actually, you could just run from here. It's probably a mile from here.
Yeah.
Gina
keeps telling me about it.
Yeah.
North, what does it connect?
Isn't it like from Wonderland, like across the foot, like isn't it like parallel to like 36,
like towards
it's
Nevo?
Parallel to 36 but on the west side,
yeah. Like on the foothill side,
yeah.
Oh,
and it
silly.
Connects to Yoder, which Yoder goes over to, I don't know,
you're saying a bunch of words. I mean,
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah. this is gonna get
we know Lobo and Tom Watson,
you gotta talk our language. Nevo
Monarch,
dude. Yeah. now we have a sick trail shoot that makes you want to do it more too,
dude. I got that, it's amazing. Well,
have you
run
it?
On our team got it. Okay, I have a bit of a gripe.
Tell
I
me.
Got flamed, not flamed, for like starting to do some long runs in super shoes.
Yeah, you kind of did.
And they were like, why are you doing that? And then now it's like, now that we have a trail shoe that's so fat and it's just full of super foam, everyone's like, oh, this is a good long run shoe. It's like, how's that any different from our other super shoe? I think it's even fatter, if anything. Like,
isn't it technically a trail super shoe?
It is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And so, but I don't know why that is more acceptable to do a long run in that shoe.
Because it has the word trail at the front of it.
Yeah. Shouldn't that make it less acceptable? Like, how is that any more acceptable?
I think it's less stiff. I do.
That's
fractionally.
But like, does that
matter?
No,
I'm agreeing.
Does that matter?
I'm agreeing. You have a good point.
Because I was getting flamed for that. Because I was like, I mean, it's a long run, so it's like a hard run on your body, right? Like, you want to wear super shoes to lessen that. I'm sorry. That's a bit of a rant.
I don't know.
Probably not the place for that rant.
Yeah.
It sounds like, sounds like you gave in to peer pressure and stopped wearing super shoes.
Well, I actually don't think it's the smartest idea in every scenario. But coming at that time, in that context, when I was coming back and I felt like the long run was like a bit more taxing on my body compared to the other stuff, I just wanted to lessen it. I think if you're, let's say you're Joe, the long run's like really important and you are pushing it on the long run, I think definitely wear a super shoe. But
Do you not think a super shoe like can hurt you in other ways?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, okay. Yeah, I don't think you should be wearing it all the time. Okay.
How often do you wear a super shoe?
I mean, like,
do they even count in trail?
The North Face makes a super shoe.
A trail super shoe.
A trail super shoe.
Do they make a road one?
No.
Makes sense.
There's like a offshoot in Japan that makes a road one.
That's
it. What does that mean?
You can't get, I don't know. I don't quite understand the Japanese market, but apparently it's the North Face. But
they got some sick North Face stuff there.
So good. Oh. Right, I can't get any of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Gotta go do a trail race in Japan. I don't know if they have trails there. I don't know.
They do. They have mountains. There's one that goes around Mount Fuji.
Oh.
Yeah. Dude, honestly, when you guys like, you know, get into the trail scene in probably like 10 years or something, or hopefully sooner. I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know.
I would love to.
Yeah, that's a bucket list one in Japan.
I would love to, but like my thing is like, why does it have to be 100 miles? Why can't, like, this is kind of already what you were saying. It's like, why does the most prestigious race have to be 100 miles? Why can't the most prestigious race be a trail race that's like 20 miles and we're trying to run a bit faster?
I mean, it could be. There. Have you guys watched Golden Trail? Like the short distance stuff?
No.
Okay, yeah.
So it does exist?
Yeah, it does exist.
But then
it's not so popular and it's kind of,
I don't love the ones as well. I don't know if this is Golden Trail or something different, where it's just like all about the vert.
Yeah, that's
Golden Trail. Yeah, I don't really love that as much either, where it's like just run up this mountain.
A flat trail race.
No, I want a mix.
Okay.
I want like the first, I imagine when the first 20 miles or any 20 mile section of Western States. I don't know if that's it. I didn't watch the whole race, so I don't know.
I mean, Western States is actually like pretty technical. I was shocked. But I also said that when I got into trail running. I was like, this is stupid. Like, why does it have to be 100 miles? Yeah. And then you do, or like now, I don't know, a few days removed from Western States, I'm like, no, I kind of get it. Yeah, okay. This is it, you know?
So once we get into
it, it's not even that bad. Like,
it's not that bad.
What do you mean? You were just saying how you didn't want to do it ever again.
Well, I didn't. But mentally, it's not that bad, dude. You're just like chilling.
I don't agree.
I don't know.
I don't believe you.
I don't know. It just feels like a blur.
You'll have to do it and then decide.
Yeah.
Yeah, but back to Western States and the viewing experience.
Yeah.
How much of the stream did you end up catching, George? Was it good timing for you?
Kind of a lot. I mean, I had it on in the background a lot of the time.
Dude, because this is part of my thing. I was, in terms of thinking about it's the future, it felt much more like watching like the Tour de France stage.
I kind of had it. I like having something on in the morning when I'm having a coffee, like some version of sport on in the morning.
Dude.
It's so good.
I think it could be the future because you can just have it on for a long time and you can be checking in. And, you know, something like nothing really has to be happening and it's still, you know, kind of entertaining. And then amazing things happen and it's just really cool. And I was lucky because, I got to watch the start, which is obviously a cool moment to watch. And then I went to sleep and then woke up when the race was at about 60 miles, I think, Forest Hill or whatever.
Yeah.
So
Forest Hill's a good time to wake up.
So then I got to watch a bit when I woke up and I went and did my session and then I came back for the last 30 minutes of the winner.
Yeah.
That's a good way to watch.
Like, and I was like, this is a great experience.
Yeah.
Dude, there was 45K people concurrently watching it at the finish.
That's fucking impressive.
That's a lot of people, man.
That's
impressive.
They said like 1.2 million people were streaming at any given time.
So it's fucking big. Yeah. Even though it's not an hour world.
Is there any scenario where there could be a stage trail race?
They have them.
Really?
Yeah, they do.
Your body just
breaks
down. Like instead of Western, it's like you run like 20 miles of Western States like every day or something.
Just break it up across 5 days.
Yeah. I mean,
it'd be cool.
No, it's pretty. Yeah, it'd be terrible.
It'd be terrible.
But no, they definitely have some stage races. I don't think they.
I cannot really imagine what that would do to
you. Yeah.
Yeah. Be like, miserable.
Because you just wouldn't be able to recover at all.
Yeah. But dude, I feel like the big thing was, like, from a viewing standpoint, because I'm also a fan and I watch these things similar to like track or whatever. It's like if you have somebody to root for, makes it super interesting.
Totally.
Like the
storylines are amazing. And every single trail runner, it seems like they do a good job having camera crew like yeah. trying to tell those stories, you know?
100%. It's just like a different, like the outdoor space is kind of different for that, where like you're sponsored, but you're only sponsored for like mainly media standpoint. Like, like think of a climber. It's like the climbers don't really like big time climbers, Alex Honnold, these people, like they don't really compete. So there's no competition. It's all about like the media that can be created about them.
Yeah.
So I feel like the outdoor space, like particularly like me with the North Face or even Nike out there, like they did such a good job at hiring like, I don't know, two or three people. Like for me, I had like four camera people just for me.
And it was from like, the North Face.
From the North Face. And it was like, I don't know. It's like the whole end goal for them is to create content out of it. It's like,
which makes sense.
The result is the result is almost,
it makes sense. And I think running like, you know, in our more like track pro running world, we're in a time period where they're figuring out the kinks of that, from going from a more performance based model to a more content type thing. And I don't know if you remember this, George, I think we've talked about this once before about that. It makes more sense to do it like that because, yeah, I think a climber is a great example because you think about a climber who's sponsored, their goal is to make the coolest film possible, you know, like, or the 100%. Coolest YouTube video possible. Like it could be 15 minutes, it could be 1 hour. That's their goal. And at the end of the day, like that can be so impactful and be such good value for the brand. So bringing that into, the trail world, it's like no brainer.
Yeah. And it kind of feeds itself, right? Because like, I mean, you guys did it for yourselves where it's like, you guys created this podcast. People are now fans of you. Now, whenever, like, I don't know, George goes races a steeple.
Definitely makes a difference.
You're like, I'm going to go watch the steeple. Like, I don't know. You're like glued into it.
Yeah.
Because you have somebody you're rooting for. I don't know. I feel like.
I mean, we've talked about that with even like Lachlan Morden, who still, like, he still rides for EF.
Yeah.
And maybe he did used to ride in, like, on the team when they had like full team racing, and he still competes a little bit now, but more they're just paying him to like do cool shit. Like he just does,
it was probably like
make stories and does like, adventures.
It's probably a weird transition initially. Probably initially they're like, no, like doesn't make sense. And then now I think for most people that are fans, he's generating more fandom than
for sure
almost all of their pro cyclists.
Like I'm sure EF just realized they're like, fuck, we could just like, he's our most popular rider, probably.
Also, if you watch the tour, EF isn't even on the screen at the time.
Yeah.
But everyone knows him.
Yeah.
Just
it's a bit
more
of a competitive
shit.
Space out there.
Yeah.
At the tour.
Yeah.
I mean, no shame. EF is a very good team and they do cool shit. You don't like them?
I know. They're my favorite team.
Are they actually at the tour? They do okay. Nielsen, the American, what's his name?
Oh, Nielsen Palace.
Nielsen Palace has got real good.
They got some good stream time. Don't they have Carapaz?
Isn't Richie on the team?
Yeah.
Carapaz, he was just fighting in the Giro.
Yeah, they've been better as of late, which has been nice, but
they have.
It's been tough.
They did have a couple of years where they like, didn't they think they were going under?
Probably.
Like they were going to lose their sponsors?
Yeah, that
probably
did happen.
It's so competitive.
I think they rallied. They must have rallied. Maybe Lachlan Morden helped.
He floated them for a couple of years.
Yeah. The funniest thing with Lachlan, I don't know if the fans even, y'all should watch his videos. Like people would rather watch Lachlan like rummage around a gas station for,
that's the content.
For milk than like watch a bike race.
Yeah. And there's something to be said about that. I don't know what it is, but like there's something about that.
No, it's just the
and
story.
That exists in the trail world. I mean, it exists in our world as well. It's just, The content isn't as logical as to how you would create it. For you guys, it makes way more sense, and also would make way more sense for like a good marathoner where it's really about one event and you can create so much content storyline-wise. Like for us, obviously, that event, I guess, would be World Champs Olympics. But like no one really does it that well in terms of creating content because it's just different. Like we're so focused on other stuff.
Well, I feel like On does a pretty good job with you guys.
On
somebody's
does
there taking
cool
photos
stuff.
For you guys and
yeah
that's where it doesn't make sense to me when like a brand, this happens in trail running and honestly happened to me until late, like they're paying you to like go run, but you only race like once or twice a year.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like, well, why not pay somebody to make like I don't know, use me throughout the year other than these.
It's just,
one or two,
I think it's, I don't know, who knows, maybe we'll be looking back in 10 years and all these kinks will be more worked out. It's just a transition phase, probably.
That's fair.
So we'll see.
So is that what it feels like? I don't know if people are wondering what a trail contract, like, does it feel like your contract is performance incentive and or like media? Like, is that like, what does it feel like the North Face wants from you?
Oh, it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
The North Face, I mean, it's still performance.
They still want you to win races, obviously.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, y'all know who Jim Walmsley is and Killian. You know, it's like,
that's true.
Because they're good. Like,
and I will say, they're probably more famous than, like, Killian, especially, than almost every track runner.
Yeah. I
think Killian's, I don't know how many, he's probably got a million followers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But Killian transcends, like,
yeah, he's hard
he's
to,
done stuff.
He's, hard, he's like the Usain Bolt of the 100%. Trail world. So it is hard to compare 100%. To him.
But, like, I don't know. Jim has probably sold single-handedly like sold more Hoka shoes than any Hoka Roadrunner. And it's like his social media is pretty minimal. The content's like pretty minimal. It's just like he's so
he's
good and
amazing.
He wins races. So I think for us, it's still like about performance, which is like the whole reason I'm not an influencer. I actually,
not yet.
I hate making YouTube video. Like I don't do it. Somebody else makes them for me.
Good way to do it.
That's a good way to do it. But, yeah, so it's still performance-based, but I think North Face specifically, we do have a decent bit of incentives for viewership on like YouTube and stuff, and I think that kind of comes in from the climbing side of the brand. It's definitely different being with the North Face because the marketing team, very in touch with climbing, very in touch with snow, very confused with trail running. and then like my direct manager is kind of like, I feel like half of her job is just bridging that, like the knowledge gap between like sports marketing
nice.
And trail running.
I think all companies have people in those roles.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know how
to just explain it, just make it make sense to everyone.
100%. So
communicating.
But I don't know what a normal running contract looks like, but it's probably not so far off.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
It's cool. We did reach out to the Instagram and we do have some Q&A, but we'll do a little lightning rapid fire session. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. First question. How many MRIs have you had?
Two.
Two?
Two in my whole life.
It's a good number. Yeah. Keep them there.
Dude, I feel like an MRI, by the time I get an MRI done and it gets red, I'm healed. So I stopped getting them. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. That's what George was trying to go for, I think.
Yeah.
I listened to the pod last week and you're like, yeah, it's been hurting for this long, so it's probably like already better actually. that's a good method. What was the biggest challenge on the course? Heat, nutrition, physical, mental?
Question mark. The biggest challenge was just nutrition, keeping it down. Throwing up ruins the race normally.
Is that something that you've faced before? Or is that a new challenge?
That was kind of new.
Is that because of the heat? Why are you throwing up?
Kind of because, like, normally I would think because of heat, but it wasn't hot at that point. I don't know. I think I was just trying to do too much. Just too much.
Yeah.
For too long. So
makes sense. Trying to do something that your body should not be doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Lots of questions about your hair in relation to Ollie's hair.
No relation, but
you got it done just for the race, didn't you?
Just for the race.
Because I feel like I saw pictures of you and like none dyed, and then it's just you turned up. Amazing.
Yeah, it was a last minute thing, like right before we flew.
Did
out.
You do it yourself?
My wife.
Nice.
My wife did it, so
amazing.
That's much more economically sound than Ollie's.
This is true. No comment. What's going through your mind at mile 80?
Dude, a whole lot of mush. Like, not a lot of thinking. Just trying to... I do remember mile 80 because I think that was right after...
Isn't that right after the river?
Right
Isn't
after the river
78 or something?
Yeah. Dude, at mile 80, I thought I could still catch people. So I was just like trying to keep the legs moving.
The river revived you?
Does the river
feel
sick.
Good? Yeah.
It's not. It wasn't as cold as I wish.
Mm.
Was the kicker. I missed on the one... Because there's an aid station right before the river. And people were getting ice there. And I was like, my whole plan, I was like, I'm going to breeze through that aid station because I'm going to get in the water. And it just wasn't that cold.
What a letdown. In what race distance would you be equal to Jingi?
Oh, man. I don't
tough
know.
Question.
Judging by his half marathon, probably like anything further than that. I don't know. But no, he's probably actually going to be really good at half marathon and further.
Yeah, I feel like he's done a very fast half.
Honestly, probably anything on trail. Because I feel like the thing that maybe gets missed as trail running is almost a different sport.
Yeah, takes, different muscles for sure.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
His stride kind of looks like he would struggle on really technical.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But who knows? I guess if we only see him running on flats.
So yeah, exactly.
It's like hard to compare.
Maybe he'll win Western States one day.
That would be sick.
That would be sick.
Love to witness that journey. Carbs per hour, already talked about that one. What do you run for a mile? What's your mile time?
Right now?
Yeah. Well, what was it? What was it now?
What's your PB? In high school, I ran 4:22, and then I never got faster. That was like not bad back then.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But no, that's about it.
Fair enough. We already kind of answered this one, the final question. It does have a little second part. What do you talk about while running out there for so long? Any shit talk?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. At Black Canyon, I feel bad. I was like shit talking mad to a guy who is very, he's a friend, but he's like, he was kind of like slated to win the thing. And I don't know, like he was like, he like missed cooling off and I was like, ooh, rookie move, like that stuff. I'd apologize after because I was, I don't know, there's enough shit talking, but I feel like particular for like 100 miles or 100K, it's so hard. You almost want to make friends for half of it, at least.
Yeah, it'd be tough to make a lot of enemies out there and then you have to run next to each other.
Yeah, totally. It's like, it's awkward.
Do you like try and give off the vibes that you're chilling though?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You have to like make, this is easy. I'm not hard.
Do people tell you like, oh, I'm fucked? Or do they keep that more close to their chest? No. I feel like they would.
They do. Because
there's like nothing you can really do about it.
Well, that'd be like reverse psychology. Yeah, you're like pretend you're hurting.
What can you, you just can't do about anything about it.
Yeah.
It's like you either have it or you don't.
Totally. And the people who, like, I wouldn't tell somebody out there that, like, I don't know, if my quads are gone, I wouldn't be like, oh, my quads are gone to somebody that wasn't a friend.
Yeah.
But there's like so many guys out there that I like and respect. And like, if I wasn't in the race, I'd be wanting them to win, you know? So it's like, I don't know, like Adam Peterman, who won like 2 years ago or something. I think he went to CU.
Yeah.
He's friends with Joe, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point I passed him, he's like, my quads are gone. And I was like, I don't know.
Going to be a long day for you, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, all right, see ya. No, but you like, I don't know. You want
damn, that sucks to be you.
You want him to do well, so you're like trying to give him a pep talk because you're passing him. You're like, dude, they'll come back. Like, just stick on me. It'll be great. Yeah. Let's move. We're like catching people.
Yeah.
He didn't come back.
No, he didn't come back.
This time they didn't come back for him.
So it depends who it is, though, to be honest.
Makes sense.
Mm.
Well, that's it. You did an amazing job.
Sweet.
Thank you for that.
Great lightning round.
Yeah. Is there any other questions that we have, George?
I don't know.
You got any questions for us?
Oh, I don't.
Put you on the spot?
Not particularly. When are you all going to do a trail race? I feel like you guys are edging closer and closer to just like
hopping in one. Our schedule, I think we would love to. It's just the schedule is just tough.
You just got to break the schedule. I don't know.
Yeah.
Break away for a little bit.
I would do it if things lined up, but we're so particular.
That's fair.
We're very particular about what we do.
Yeah.
And I know. I got to do a trail run first before I do a trail race.
Yeah.
Once I get these new shoes on, maybe it'll change my life. Or maybe not.
Okay. Is there not something that's like a bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Contradicting about like super trail shoes where like if you're adding more foam to them, when like to run technical trails, wouldn't it be better to have less foam? Or is that not a thing?
Yeah.
You still want to protect your legs though.
Yeah. And I don't know how the on shoe is, but normally there's like some different densities in there that like kind of force your foot over it, or like force your foot from rolling off the foam.
I haven't even worn it. I'm sure it's like firmer and more stable than a marathon shoe.
I did try it on. It's pretty.
Yeah.
I can't say.
Yeah. Don't worry, we'll cut that.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But yeah, no, I don't know. But yeah, that's the problem that brands have been having is it'll be like Adidas came out with this super shoe. Some people love it. Other people, their ankles just get nuked.
Yeah, so, that's what I'd be scared of.
Yeah. I don't know.
Tough problem to solve.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, we want to thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Super fun. I mean, you live like, I don't know, I assume you live in Boulder.
Yeah. I live in Gunbarrow.
Wait, we probably live really close to each other.
Yeah, I live right next to Elise and Charlie.
Nice, lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I live next to King Supers.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so, a spot to be.
We should catch out for a trail run sometime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Lobo Trail to be sick.
Yeah. You'll find us out there five days of the week.
I've definitely seen you guys out there before.
Do you run? Is that where you do your easy runs?
I
don't feel like we see you ever running.
He's running it in the middle of the day, dude, for the heat.
No, this isn't true. You just didn't know who I was at the time. I passed you on a run. I was doing threshold and you were
huge.
Oh, definitely easy jogging. And I passed you on, I don't know, one of the numbered roads around the res.
Recently?
Very recently.
Wait, I remember. Wait,
like,
yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Like on Monarch, right?
Like, yeah, right before
Monarch. Wait, yeah.
I was doing the Honda loop.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, I remember. I feel like did I say good job or something? I feel like I said, I remember some guy like ripping past.
I don't know. I was like, see you, loser. Blew by you. No, I'm just kidding.
I do, yeah. But I remember. I thought you looked kind of like a trail runner.
What does that mean?
Because I was trying real hard and going very slow.
This guy does not look like he runs on flat ground.
Shit, I don't know where I was going with that.
It was probably the...
It's the vibe.
The long North Face shorts.
Probably.
Mustache, everything.
Yeah, well, it was probably just dicked out in North Face. I was like, oh,
yeah,
this dude must do something like that.
That is the... I do have to do that so people know I'm a trail runner or not.
No, guys, I'm cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, but thank you so much for coming on. We'd love to...
We should grab a run.
Yeah, it'd be fucking sick.
Holler.
Love that. We'll do it.
Sweet.
Yeah. But
thanks, dude.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. This has been episode 193, getting dangerously close to 100. Very afraid. 193 of the podcast. We look forward to see you guys all again next week. Until then, bye-bye.